You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 208. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary alongside Mitch Anderson. Mitch, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, I am having a day today, buddy.
Uh-oh.
Just, I couldn't find an email that you sent to me last week. Couldn't find it. It's there. It's probably laughing at me right in the face, but I can't find it. I'm sweating buckets at the bottom. I'm in my basement. I'm sweating. I haven't stopped working all day. It's been a day, buddy. What about you?
Well, first, I'm sorry you're having one of those days. It's rough. It happens to everyone, though, unfortunately. For me, I'm a little pissed off. So as you know, because you've been to my house, I live very close to a college. So there's no school going on right now. So there's like a big open parking lot. So that's where we like to walk the dog because it's secluded. Like she gets distracted easily and stuff like that. And on our nightly walk this evening before we recorded, there was another dog who, I don't know the person, but like I've seen this dog around. Well, the dog got loose and nipped at my dog's ankles and she was bleeding. So I had to take her home. We cleaned her up. She's fine, but it just spooked her and it kind of spooked us at the time. Cause that's like, I don't know. You're not expecting that, you know?
Yeah, no, like, honestly. So the dog just kind of like, oh, no, they got off leash. Or they let go of the leash because they weren't holding it right. Or they just let go of the dog and like, oh,
honestly,
oops, that happened.
Like, honestly, it all happened so fast. I think she kind of like tripped or like lost her balance or something. And like it was a bigger dog. So like the strength kind of like she was trying to pull and hang on to it. And I think the dog was kind of just too strong for her.
Sounds like someone who doesn't know how to hold a leash properly to me.
Probably. Again, like I said, it all happened like in the blink of a second. So like I don't know exactly how it happened, but like 1 second the dog's pulling, the next second it's running at us. I'm like, God damn it. Come on, man.
Yeah. Hold a leash. Don't just grab it like you're grabbing a rope into your like around it with your hand. Go through the loop of the leash and grab it around that way. So if you fall, the dog, if they run in this situation, just hold, like it pulls your hand basically. You're probably gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt you real bad, but your dog is gonna go running somewhere else.
Yeah.
Oh, that bums me out.
Exactly. So just a little bit frustrated. So I think we're both a little frustrated. So excited to get into this episode and kind of just like forget about this BS of a Wednesday.
Absolutely stupid Wednesdays.
Before we do that, Mitch, we have something to talk about quickly. So attention listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men or women worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. That's FANSIDED20 for 20% off, free shipping on anything on the website, Mitch. Always a good get.
Absolutely. Love my 4.0. Love the family of products that come with it, the preserver and the refresher. Love it. Constant rotation going on here.
Absolutely. So let's jump into the episode, Mitch. Last time we talked, we were talking about Adam Pellick filing for arbitration, and the arbitration date was supposed to be today, if you remember correctly. And we're probably like, oh, you know, Lou's gonna wait till the last minute to get something done. And meanwhile, Mitch, pretty much the next day, right after that podcast comes out, there's a deal for Adam Pellick. We had some real Islanders news this week.
We had a signing, and then we thought, oh boy, here we go, all the other ones. We'll get to what happens after that, and I'll remember to get to that next time. But yeah, Adam Pellick signs 8 years, $5.75 per year. Absolutely steal of a deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So Adam Pellick will be a New York Islander for 8 more years. Cap hit comes in at $5.75. That was probably, and we talked about it on the Patreon, but that was a little bit more than Mitch and I originally anticipated, but neither of us are really complaining about that. I would absolutely sign up for him, you know, for, again, 8 more years at that cap hit, for sure.
100%, right? Like, yes, I know when I initially said my prediction was 4.5, and that looks silly now. Fully admit that that's the case. But I didn't factor 8 years. I didn't think it would even take 8 years, which is even sillier, right? Like, you'd think that 8 years, the AAV would maybe be a little bit higher. Obviously, I guess you do the 8 years to bring the AAV down. So maybe what I'm saying here isn't necessarily accurate. But the idea here is that you want to keep him long term. That AAV is going to go higher than my basement 4.5. And it certainly did. $5.75 million is a steal for what is really the elite, like the top number one shutdown defenseman in the NHL.
Yeah, absolutely. All the advanced analytics love Adam Pellick, and for good reason, because he's just night in and night out is shutting out, you know, shutting down top pair top line guys. And we saw just a couple of years ago what happens when he's not in the lineup for the New York Islanders. And the fact that he's going to be here through the entirety of his prime is a good thing.
Absolutely. You're right in that he's shutting down top end guys. And it goes even beyond that, right? Like, his ability to help his team create offense. And it's not to say that he puts up a bunch of points, but what his play does to enable offense to be created is underrated. He is one of the better, I shouldn't say better, like two-way players, but he's underrated in terms of his ability to create offense based off of the plays that he is making in the defensive zone and out towards the offensive zone. It really is. He's one of the top players to do that on the blue line. He doesn't put up the points to back it up if you look at the eye test, but the underlying numbers say that what he does to maybe not drive play directly, but to generate some sort of offense is really good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the Islanders clearly benefit when he's on the ice. And, well, we saw the Pellick and Pulock pair, they've been good now for 3 years, but I really feel like they took their game to another level this year.
Oh, 100%, right? So you've got these two guys locked in at 10.75 million dollars combined, where you got guys like Darnell Nurse making $9.25 million.
Yeah, that's wild. I don't get that one
alone, right? Or guys like Seth Jones making 9.5 alone, right? That whoever else is next to him is probably going to be making more than $1.5 million, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's nuts, dude. You're right, though. Like, you don't think of it like that, but that's a good way to look at it, for sure.
Right. They locked in their top pair guys. Next year, Ryan Pulock is going to have to come up again. But they've got him locked in this year for just under $11 million combined. And they're the best tandem in the league. There's no question. Yes, the points might not be there, for sure. We all saw that. But my God, was Ryan Pulock snake bitten last year. But
yeah.
The tandem as it stands, Adam Pellick and Ryan Pulock complementing each other perfectly and play a perfect tandem game. And it's absolutely led to the resurgence of the New York Islanders over the last couple of years.
Not to completely veer off topic here, but just for a brief second, and then we'll get it back to Adam Pellick. I am very much so going to ride the Ryan Pulock isn't going to score 2 goals during the regular season train, just like the Anders Lee isn't going to score 2 power play goals from last year all over again. So that's my new version of last year's gimmick with Anders Lee. Just wanted to throw that out there quick.
Yeah, can we take futures on the Ryan Pulock scoring 2+ goals, like 2.5 over?
Yes.
Come on, what's the line on that?
Yeah, he's going to be right back to his 9 or 10, believe me. Anyway, with Adam Pellick, in addition to us being excited about, you know, him being re-signed. Now, normally when you see people sign 8-year deals, it gets a little bit scary because usually on those long-term deals, it's like you're paying for the first half of that contract. But when it comes to Adam Pellick, there's two different models and two different projections that have him exceeding what his cap hit is supposed to be. And I want to talk about that a little bit briefly here. So the first one I have is from Jay Fresh Hockey, who he's looking at projected WAR versus cap hit expected WAR. And for the entirety of the contract, you have Adam Pelech over. The first, I mean, it's pretty impressive. You have him at 1.6, 1.6, 1.5 the first 3 years. And his, you know, the cap hit expected war is hovering right about, right around one. And it dips under one, you know, around the age 31 season. But even the very last year at age 35, he's still projected at 0.9 for projected war, which is above where the contract is saying he should be.
Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know what war is, it's wins above replacement. So how many wins does Adam Pelech get you over just any one player? Think of Michael Dalcol on the blue line.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just replacement. You can call up any schmuck from the AHL, put him in, and Adam Pelech will get you X number of wins over that person. And he's giving you value over any of those players at that contract from day one to year eight. And that's wild, right? Because like you mentioned, that goes all the way to his year 34 season. That's not young. You don't expect a 34-year-old to be giving you more at $5.75 million.
Right. And the one from Dom Lachusen I really find interesting too. Now, he uses GSVA, which is goal save versus average, right?
I believe it's game score above average.
Okay, my bad. But what I also like about his is at the bottom, it gives what the each yearly market value is. And his market value for this year is $8 million. And it's his market value would be above what the 5.75 is up until the 2027 season, when it drops to his value is a top four guy instead of a top top pair guy. And at about $4.7 million is where he's projecting him what his value would be, which that's just, I mean, you're splitting hairs at that point, and that's so many years down the line.
Right. It's not even splitting hairs, right? You're going like, okay, we might be losing money here at the end because we're paying him more than what the market dictates we should be paying him. But we've banked up so much value in the first 7 years that it's fine, right? Like, from what you told me, I just ran the quick math, and maybe my math is off a little bit, but if he's expected, or his market value in year one is eight and he's being paid 5.75, that means he's already banked 2.25 of extra value. The Islanders saved $2.25 million in year one. Year one, there's still another 7 years after that for him to accumulate value, which he does, from what you say, until year eight. And even then, it's, you know, barely anything. Like, that's incredible, right? Like, that, not only are you getting wins above replacement consistently from year one through year eight, but you're saving money. What?
Yeah, which, again, it is so rare. I don't think we can stress enough like how rare that is. Usually those long-term deals are turn out to be catastrophic at the end, but they're signing him at just, he just turned 27, or this will be his age 27 season. I forget exactly when his birthday is. But the point is, he's not like signing an 8-year deal at age 30, you know? So that makes a huge difference.
He turns 27 in 5 days.
Okay. There you go.
Happy early birthday, Adam Pelech.
Yeah, he got his early birthday present from Lou.
Unbelievable. So on that though, because we were just talking about, and you mentioned something about all you know, the value of that contract, and it just made me think of just a couple of years ago, that wouldn't be a thing, right? Like, you got to think that the New York market is, I shouldn't say the market, but New York is high tax, right? There's a big tax rate here. Yeah. I should say here, I'm not there, but there is here anyways in Ottawa. The tax rate is quite high. But usually you have to pay a premium for that, specifically for the Islanders. You had to pay an Islander premium. If you wanted to bring in someone or keep someone, you had to pay them, right? Like Andrew Ladd, you had to pay $5.5 million over 7 years to have the privilege of bringing in Andrew Ladd. And now we're not, what, 4 years later, maybe 5 years, if I need to do the math quick?
Yeah.
5 years later, we're getting Adam Pelech to re-sign an 8-year deal and get a bargain from year one through year eight. That is a wild turnaround.
Yeah, and you got to give a lot of credit to Lou Lamoriello on this one. I know not every decision he's made has been perfect. You can get on him for some, but I think the far majority, and just where this team was a few years ago to where they are now, it's really night and day. It couldn't be any further from, you know, the polar opposites of where the direction of where they were to where they are now is honestly still shocking. I feel like we say that almost every single episode of this show, but it's true.
It is, right? Like, we went from scraping the barrel of the free agent market and having to pay a premium to do so to having elite level players, Adam Pellick, Matthew Barzal as well, Ryan Pollock, elite, maybe not Ryan Pollock, but at least Adam Pellick and Matthew Barzal, elite level players willing to take a discount in the prime of their careers to stay here. That is one hell of a turnaround.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. So I am extremely excited to watch more of Adam Pellick over the next few years, and I don't see him as someone who falls off quickly, and neither do the projections, obviously.
No, and the thing that you have to consider with some of these falling off is, like you mentioned earlier, age. He won't turn 27 for another 5 days. You also have to factor in usage, right? Like, yeah, he plays a lot of minutes, and he plays tough minutes, but it's not like he's playing Johnny Boychuk-style hockey. Yeah, he can be physical. Yeah, he can be tough. But that's not, he's not playing a physical, tough, you know, beat him up game like Johnny Boychuk did. He's not abusing his body every shift he's going out there.
No.
To a certain extent, of course, relatively, all hockey players are literally abusing their bodies, right? They have spines of 70-year-olds as 30-year-olds. It's insane. But he doesn't miss a lot of time either, right? Like, yeah, he missed time last year or 2 years ago in 2019-18, or sorry, 19-20, with 38 games played. But before that, he doesn't really miss a beat. 78 games, the 2 years before that. He's got 44 in 16-17, but that's not really his fault. He was playing in Bridgeport most of the year.
Right, exactly. And that's a good point, because when you look at what he does and how he plays the game, he's not someone where you're like, oh, it's going to fall off because his body's going to break down. Or he doesn't necessarily like rely on speed either. Like, I feel like he's a fundamentally sound guy, and that is more likely to continue longer than someone who's like, hey, I'm strictly a speed guy, or hey, you know, I'm a physical guy. Like Boychuk was a great example on that one. And I think that plays a big role. And you talked about, yes, he's, you know, the top pair guy, and he does play a lot of minutes relatively to the, you know, relative to the other Islanders, but how many top pair guys do you see playing 25, 26 minutes a night where Adam Pellick is, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I'm going to guess what's he at, like 22 maybe?
Let me bring it up. Adam Pellick, Hockey Reference. Boom, there it is. Time on ice last year, 21 minutes and 3 seconds on average.
Okay, so 21, let's call it. So that's not, we see top pair guys who get significantly more than 21 minutes a night. So it's not like, you know, he's getting, you know, outs or skating a whole lot each and every night.
No, he's averaging 21 minutes, just over 21 minutes. Same thing last year. And before that, he doesn't hit 20. He doesn't average over 20 any other of the 6 years he's played in the NHL. And that sixth year was 9 games in 15-16.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of miles on that body.
No, there aren't. So I am very excited about this contract. And I think most Islanders, all, I'll say all, I haven't heard anyone say anything negative about this deal.
I can't imagine anyone being like, we're going to, well, I'm sure there's someone, but like, we're going to hate that deal in 7 years. It's going to be the worst. And you're going to go, okay, cool. But like, if it's really going to come down to that seventh year and eighth year aren't going to be great, okay, what do the six before that look like?
Yeah. I'm
fine with that.
Exactly. Very valid point. Anything else on Pellick before we move this thing forward?
Just, I can't wait till the season starts, and I can't wait to find out these other deals, right? Like we said, and this is me getting back to it, we thought Adam Pellick, once he signs, and my God, I was writing the article. I had it all written out. Every word. I was about to hit the enter button to publish, but I wanted to proofread one more time because, as we know, I make typos. And as I'm doing that, boom, Arthur Staple, Adam Pellick signs 8-year deal. And I'm like, God, Jesus, Murphy, delete.
It happens. I mean, you're probably pissed in the moment, but also happy at the same time about the deal.
Yeah, now I got to start writing a whole new thing. But yeah, we thought that once the Adam Pellick deal had been done, and you referenced it earlier with the arbitration hearing, once we thought that was done on August 11th, everything else would come out, because we thought Lou Lamoriello just is hiding everything from everyone until he gets all his players signed. Until he knows what the Adam Pellick number is, he can start feeding us everything else. Well, he hasn't done that yet, and it's been a couple of days now. And we don't know what's going on with Parise, Zajac, Cizikas, Palmieri, Anthony Bovilla, Ilya Sorokin. That's six players that were just sitting and waiting. Michael Dal Col, seven guys.
Yeah, right. Did you say Goloshev too?
I did. Eight.
There, exactly. There's a lot up in the air. Now, we pretty much, we know they're coming back. We just have no idea what the deal is. We almost positive Cizikas is 6 years for $2.5 million, but everything else is up in the air. No.
Yeah. And we thought that Adam Pellick is signed. Okay. That was the domino that needed to fall for everything else. Nope. No such luck. What the heck is going on here?
So what are the, I asked to you, and I know you don't really have an answer, but I'm curious what you say to this. What's the holdup now?
It's got to be a deal. He's got to be working on bringing someone in, which makes a lot of sense because there's a big, glaring gap on the team, and that's left-hand defenseman on the second pair.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like we've talked about this a ton already, but just I would be extremely, and Mitch too, would be extremely surprised if Robin Salo or Samuel Bolduc are like, hey, welcome to North American hockey. By the way, here's second pair minutes on a Stanley Cup caliber team. Good luck to you. That would go against every single thing, this team has done in the last 3 years. They like to coddle the young guys, the inexperienced guys. How many times do we see Noah Dobson getting under 10 minutes a night, under 12 minutes a night? And now we're going to expect someone who hasn't played in North America to come over and play, what, 18, 19 minutes a night? Come on. That's just insane.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Not only is Barry Trotz not going to allow it, but Lou Lamoriello won't even get them on the roster for Barry Trotz to, for some reason, allow them to do that. It's just not going to happen. I don't think so. Right? Like, maybe Lou is forced into doing so, but there's one thing that Lou, well, maybe there's two things that we know about Lou Lamoriello. Three, sorry. He's got weird rules. He takes his time and he applies that second lesson to rookies. If you have time, take it. And he's going to make his rookies take the time. That's what he does time and time and time again. It would be surprising if he's rushing anyone into a position that they may not be ready for. So to me, the holdup is they're working on a trade, trying to get someone like Hampus Lindholm or maybe even Vince Dunn from Seattle at $4 million. That is quite appetizing. Or even Cam Fowler, although that contract is long.
Yeah, I don't love that Cam Fowler deal, to be honest with you.
No.
My favorite, I think I made this one pretty clear, is Vince Dunn. I thought, oh my God, would it have been great to get Dunn and Tarasenko all in one mega deal, but that ship has long sailed. I really don't know what the plan is at lefty, but I tend to agree with you. I think this shows that the wheels are still in motion on something more happening. Like, I don't anticipate it be like, hey, the day before camp, I'm going to announce that, you know, all these deals, the Palmieri money, the Zajac money, you know, all of it, just to screw with people because I can, kind of a thing. I think it's because, hey, I'm trying to, you know, make moves here, and I don't want to know how everyone else to know how close I am to the cap.
That's just it, right? He's keeping his cards close to his chest, and he's working on something. What it is will remains to be seen, if anything, right? Like, just because he's working on it doesn't mean he's going to pull it off, because, you know, they might be asking for way too much, which is why he's waiting, going like, all right, well, this is what you're asking now. Let's wait 2 months and see if you're in the same position. When, you know, when Vladimir Tarasenko's like, I don't want to come to camp because I don't want to play for you, please move me, they might have to do something.
Right, exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, when training camp starts, whenever that is, we have no idea yet. For some reason, they haven't really announced that. But when training camp rolls around, and like you said, Tarasenko doesn't report, then it's like, oh, okay, well, now what do we do? And then his value comes down.
So Lou's got some work to do, but on our second topic here is the work that Lou has already done, and that's specifically navigating the cap.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think really the two biggest ones to me was last year, the Devontae's trade was the big one to stay under the cap and get a couple of picks. But that led to the ability to move the Andrew Ladd contract. And, I mean, they moved Nick Leddy and was able to recoup a second-round pick as well. So Is it fair to say that it all worked out in the end?
Yeah, 100%. Of course, some people are going to say, like, well, we have one glaring hole, and that's a left-hand defenseman, and one of the things we moved was a left-hand defenseman who could play that role. And you're going, yeah, you're right, but if we don't move Devontae's last year, because we couldn't move Nick Leddy last year, the market was not there for Nick Leddy, or at least the market that Lou wanted, right? Like, Lou's price wasn't there last year for Nick Leddy. You've got to move, pardon me, Devontae's. You can't move anyone else. Who else on that blue line are you going to move? Adam Pellick or Scott Mayfield?
No.
You can't. You need those contracts.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't have a choice. And it's also tough. I don't think people give enough credit to Lou or give him this excuse enough of the cap remaining the way that it was. Everyone was anticipating. Every single team in the league was anticipating the cap going up. And for some reason, nobody ever talks about Vegas trading Nate Schmidt, who's arguably, at the time, was arguably a better defenseman for a third round pick, a singular third round pick. But he doesn't get killed. Only Lou does because, I don't know, people like to kill Lou.
Because Devontae's is an analytics darling. And I don't want to make this necessarily an analytics argument, but those are one of the things, right? Like, you're trading away a guy who can play top pair minutes and move the puck and put up points. And you're going, yes, that is true. That's why we have to move him. It's not because he's not good. It's not because the Islanders don't want him. It's that he's got the only value that is movable. And the price that we got for him is palatable, right? You get 2 second-round picks. You're going, all right, well, that's, yes, not first-round picks, but that's still quite a bit. And like you said, now we're able to move the Andrew Ladd contract. So we shed 2 players. You move Devontae so you can move Andrew Ladd. That is a big deal. You moved $5.5 million off the cap over the next 2 years. That's insane.
Yeah, it makes a really big difference. So while, yes, having in this situation now, having a Devontae's on the team would be nice, and I'm not an anti-Devontae's person, but at the same time, like, the Islanders just got back to where they were last year when Devontae's was on the team. So, like, what are we arguing over here, I guess, is my point that I always like to bring up on this.
That's exactly it. The idea here is that Lou Lamoriello has been able to successfully navigate the cap for back-to-back years now. When the Islanders were right up against it, right?
Yeah.
Like, one of the teams you're going, it's not possible, right? We all thought offer sheets were coming for Matthew Barzal because the Islanders had no way of affording all these players. And here we are. Lou navigates it last year like a boss, and then this year does it even better when he's like, you thought I couldn't move Andrew Ladd, eh? Guess what? Boom, there he goes. And we're all going like, holy hell, he's doing it again. Of course, yes, there's still a hole on the blue line for the Islanders, but my God, they still have some flexibility here. They still have, yes, they have all those contracts we were talking about, but there's, what is it? Where am I going here? I can't find them on Cap Friendly for some dumb reason. They have $11.9 million of cap space right now, and that does not include Johnny Boychuk on LTIR. It also includes Richard Panik and Leo Komarov, 2 guys that we don't think will be on the roster at all. So there's another at least 2-point-some-odd million dollars plus Johnny Boychuk that they can clear here.
Right, and I mean, we talked about waiving Ross Johnston as well, which would be another million. So there are ways of making this work.
Right, like 6 from Johnny Boychuk, 1.125 from those 2 guys, Leo and Richard Panik, and then another $1 million buried from Ross Johnston is 9.25. You add that to the, where's my mouse, the bane of having 3 screens in that, it just gets locked on the top right one. I need 4 so I can move it around a little bit easier. So I'm going to have to convince my wife I got to buy a 4th monitor just because I get the mouse stuck.
There you go.
I don't think she'll go for it. Sorry. So they have 9.25 of money we think they could generate, or not generate, but cap space they could quote-unquote generate. Add that to the 11.92 they've got now, and that's $21.17 million left to go.
That works.
Right, and we said, like, what Bo and Sorokin is going to cost probably somewhere around $7 million, we'll say.
Seven and a half. Yeah, I was going to say 7 or 8, so that's fair.
That's still $13 billion for Parise, Zajac, Cizikas, and oh my God, I'm blanking on his name, Palmieri.
Yeah, can we let's play a little bit. So let's do 2-5 for Cizikas. What do you think Palmieri's gonna get? 4-7-5?
Sure. Let's do 4-7-5.
And then
what, $2 million combined for the other two guys?
Sure.
$4.42 million.
Okay, you could work with that.
Right. Of course, we're not talking about Michael Del Col, and we're not talking about Anatoly Golishev, but those are going to be two-way deals that are going to be buried in the AHL.
Yeah, I mean, that. Yeah, you have room. You have room to do things.
There's room here to add a defenseman. There is room here. So yeah, this is Lou's navigating the cap masterfully yet again. Yes, he's going to be right up against it, but you don't worry about that when you're winning championships, right? Like, their window is now. This is when you spend to the limit. You're not going to spend to the limit when you're the Ottawa Senators and you have no hope of winning anything.
Right. Like, that's the thing. It's not like what good is cap space if you're trying to win a championship? You want to build the most complete team as possible. Like, I don't, like, there's no value in that. If you're right, if you're the Ottawa Senators or a team like that and you're rebuilding, obviously don't spend to the cap. You're just going to hamstring yourself on what you can and can't do. But for a team that's going for it and trying to win, what's the difference if it says $5 million of cap space or $1 million left in cap space, right?
Just use it. Might as well. Maximize what you've got. And that's what the Islanders are doing. Of course, some people will go like, well, they can still maximize it by, like, what if you traded Josh Bailey for Vladimir Tarasenko? Yeah, well, sure, cool. Yeah. That would be great-ish, right? Like, losing Josh Bailey wouldn't be good, but, like, you can see the clear one-for-one upgrade there, and it obviously wouldn't cost Josh Bailey for Vladimir Tarasenko. But the argument here is that, are there upgrades that you can make based off the players you've got? Yeah, of course. But, like, does that actually result in more wins? Who knows? We know what this roster can do. We know what this roster has. My God, let's see it through.
No, absolutely. So, yeah, Lou, not a bad job from Lou. And they seem to be coming out of it, too, because it's rumored to go up by $1 million for next season, 2022.
Right, and that's great. Now you've got that going up. You would imagine it goes up next year now that you're able to get butts in seats, at least for what seems to be the whole season. So this is going to be a good thing for the New York Islanders going forward.
Absolutely. Anything else on Lou before we get to down on the form?
Just looking at next year, there's two guys that I'm looking at right now that are coming off the books, and that's Cal Clutterbuck and Leo Komarov. That's $6.5 million of freed up cap space. And Ross Johnson, $7.5 million gone.
Yeah, they're going to have to spend to keep Ryan Pulock. So I'm okay with that.
Absolutely. So yeah, down on the farm, we have hockey games going on. They're friendlies, of course. And by friendlies, I mean some of them are intra-league play. Some of them are inter-league, so preseason hockey. Today, Rustin Ishkakov and Alexander Ljungcrantz both played. They both scored a goal for the respective teams. So good job by them. Things are going well for their preseason. Ljungcrantz was playing third line left wing, whereas Ishkakov third line center, but I don't expect that to stick. I expect Ishkakov to fit in the top six center role just by the way that their GM was talking about him.
Okay.
Outside of that, the Swedish team has announced their roster for the next kind of tournament that they're going to play. And Alexander Ljungcrantz made that team.
That's good.
Now, the thing with that team is that there's a lot of new faces. So they're looking at the next wave, and he's one of the few players to stay. I don't take that as such a positive. It's obviously a positive to be representing your team or your nation, I should say. But I don't think that this is like, you're a lock to make it. We're bringing you into play again. I think it's we're still not sure if we want to bring you, so, like, let's take another look.
Oh, okay. I didn't look at it like that, but that makes a lot of sense.
I think 18 players. No, there's, yeah. So 18 of the 22 players are new. So they've only got four returning names, and Ljungcrantz is one of them.
Okay. Yeah, you could spin it that way. Okay, I could see that argument.
Then there were games yesterday as well. Not a whole lot. Alexi Malinen and Thomas Mäshy, those are late-round picks for the Islanders. Malinen was a sixth-rounder this year. Mäshy was a seventh-round this year. They both played. Mäshy played on the top pair, whereas Malinen played kind of you know, second pair type role. He played 15 minutes, so I guess you could even argue it's bottom six. Malinen had a point, but it was completely accidental. What I got out of that game, though, was his explosiveness. He is an explosive skater. He needs to work in his defensive game, as everyone who's 18 or 19 needs to do. But his skating, it was very much on display in that preseason game.
That's good. We like that.
So he's got wheels for sure.
Okay, that's a positive sign. We like guys who can skate a little bit.
Absolutely. Outside of that, there's not a whole lot going on here. Team Canada wrapped up their camp. I'm not sure if I talked about our two guys that were there. I think I may have mentioned that I don't expect them to be in the next round team.
Yeah, that sounds
familiar. So that's Dufour and Lennox. I don't think that they're going to be part of the equation for the World Junior Championships, but we'll see. If they have a strong season, that might turn things around.
Okay. Awesome.
Oh, well, I guess one other thing. Atu Ratu is in Finland, so I don't expect him to be making the move over, as was talked about a possibility. It was a very thin possibility, but you know, he's in Finland now. He is practicing with the team. He's going to be there for this season. I know someone might say, like, I didn't believe that for a second. That's fine. There is still a possibility, and he himself left the door open when I spoke to him. So he's staying in Finland this year.
Okay. Yeah, as we, you know, anticipated, I think, with that one. So no complaints.
Yeah. Again, like, the chances of him staying possible were quite slim. So it just wasn't going to happen.
Shall we get to the quiz, Mitch?
Let's do it.
Oh, I almost did it again. Hang on. There we go. Right button.
Every week we have a mystery New York Islander for you. Matt, you have 5 clues to guess who this New York Islander player is. Are you ready?
Let's do it to it.
Clue number 1. Do it. All right. I was born in Sweden.
This could be anybody. Next.
Yeah, this could be anyone. Next is I played 9 seasons with the Islanders.
9 seasons with the Islanders. Okay, next.
I was the latest draft pick to ever play for them. So I was taken in the 14th round.
14th round. Okay. I don't know yet.
I totaled 369 points in 622 games from the blue line.
Okay.
So I'm a Swedish player. Yep. I played not a whole lot of time with the Islanders, although 9 years is pretty long. Late round pick, like 14th, so I got to think about when those were.
Yeah.
And clue number 5, I'm a person who won 4 cups.
Oh.
Steph.
Stephen Pearson?
Yes, okay. Sir.
Oh, that makes sense with the purse. Okay. See, I thought you were, you know, my brain was going to, who was it? Wasn't it one of the Sutter brothers who were like on it for 2 and then was a coach for one of them or something like that?
You're thinking of Lauren Henning.
Oh, my bad. That's where my brain was going. I was not, okay.
You were in the right era of the team. That's all that matters. This is just for the fun of it.
Yes.
You're right era, too. Good job. And Lauren Henning, good. That would have been a good clue.
A good pull, guess. Yeah. I couldn't remember the name. But, yeah, that's where my brain went. All right, good one this week, Mitch. You had me stumped.
Yes. I was stuck on draftees, so I went this way. And before someone comes back to me, I'm sure someone or a player was drafted in a later round, like a 25th round. They weren't actual full rounds, so I don't count those.
That's fair. My brain was also going Kenny Johnson at first, too, by the way, when you're talking about Swedish defensemen.
Would have been a good guess, too.
There we go. Shall we get to the social segment, Mitch?
Yes,
What do you got for us this week?
First one comes from Alec, Punished Pliskin, who says, are those balloons going to skate along Lee and Barzi? And that was in reference to the Islanders tweeting, the countdown is on, 100 days until opening night at UBS Arena.
Okay. No, I saw that.
My God. Completely missed the point. They had 3 balloons, the 100, And then Alec here is saying, like, are they going to play next to Barzi and Lee? Because we don't theoretically have a top line right wing right now.
Okay, now I get it. It took me a second, but okay, there you go. I thought this was going a different direction, but all right.
No, that was me. Total fail on my behalf.
My first one is a series of tweets from friend of the show Rob Taub, who had some quotes from Robin Lehner, who was on the Cam and Strick podcast. And he was talking about how things ended with the Islanders, which was interesting. So I'm going to share some of those quotes. The first one says Robin Lehner on him not being re-signed with the Isles. The intention was to get things done at our end of year meeting. We talked and I was going to be a priority to get something done quickly. That didn't happen. He then goes on to say that he received an offer of 2 years for $4.5 million a year. And he said that he was looking for more term and thought he was worth more than $5 million. And then he also dropped one more little spicy nugget that I found interesting, was that the Islanders' plan was to bring in both Panarin and Varlamov because they shared the same agent as a package deal.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does. But that's a lot to break down. Sorry, I gave you kind of all that at once.
Yeah. The one thing that stands out to me is the plan was always Sorokin. And when Leonard wanted more than two, the Islanders were out. Right? Like 2 years brings him to last year. So that would theoretically be this year for Sorokin.
Yeah.
And the Islanders were not willing to go too much further than 2 years.
Yeah, that I guess that makes sense, right?
I guess they were hoping for a long, like the plan was always to get Sorokin over last year to play. Sorry, that is. And you would think that it would have been a longer season than just 56 games. And so maybe they would have had a larger sample size. And obviously the plan was also maybe to have a longer year last year, where he probably could have got some of the AHL playing time like Igor Shesterkin got. And by say last year, I mean 2 years ago, that Igor Shesterkin got with the Rangers in Hartford. So, like, the plan to me seems we plan on giving Ilya Sorokin the starting role in 21-22. Obviously, COVID changed that. And when Robin Lehner said, I want 3 years or more than two, they're like, we're out. No, we can't. We don't want to do that.
So then why give Varlamov four then?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that one. That puts a wrench right in the workings of my machination there. Yeah, that is strange. Yeah, never mind. My whole
sorry,
rambling was
I didn't
worthless.
Mean to just like pour water on your fire there.
No, that's the whole point. Yes, pour water on my fire when you're like, hey, you didn't think of this very crucial angle here. It was like they signed a guy that year for 4 years.
The next day,
at $5 million,
yeah,
right?
Talk about a slap in the face to Robin Lehner.
Although he wanted more than five, I think he would have settled on five, but. Don't I remember him saying he was fine with taking short term?
I don't remember.
Didn't he tweet that out at some point or say that somewhere that he would have taken a short term deal?
To stay with the maybe. Yeah. That does sound familiar. I don't know. I don't really know.
And I'm probably that thought did cross his mind, and he's being legitimate on both sides, right? Like the Islanders probably came in their first offer, or a $2 million at 4.5 or whatever it was that he said. And he's like, no, I want three or two plus more years at five. And then they said, no, he probably would have been like, okay, fine. I'll take your 2 year deal. And the Islanders are like, well, that's fine. We're not interested anymore, which kind of sucks.
Yeah. That's kind of, that's what I think happened too. But it also didn't seem like he has like bad blood for the Islanders. Like he said that like he has a ton of respect for Lamoriello and Trotz, and like, I don't know, he still interacts with Islanders fans online and seems to love coming back to play against the Islanders and stuff.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a lot of love for them because they gave him a shot when no one else would, and they put him on a path, or helped put him on a path to where he is now, at least professionally. So like he's making $5 million and going to be making $6.5 million next year because of the work that he did on the island or started, yeah. Right? Like he still had to do a lot when he went to Chicago and such. And still work towards that today, but it started by going to the island because Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz gave him that shot.
That's true. So interesting. Just some interesting quotes from that one. So I wanted to, you know, put those out on the pod.
Absolutely. My last one here comes from Marco Koivunen. Marco Koivuniemi. My God. Sorry about that, Marco. Not necessarily an Islanders fan here, but saying, one Leo to rule them all. One Leo to find them. One Leo to bring them all and in the darkness bind them. I said that too joyfully.
Yeah, that was dark. Anyways.
Well, that's from Lord of the Rings. Oh. So I'm getting Leo Komarov crossover with Lord of the Rings, which is freaking great. But the point of this, they say hashtag Leo Messi, hashtag Leo Komarov, hashtag Uncle Leo, hashtag PSG, hashtag Isles, hashtag Barcelona, hashtag Lee or Leo. And it's just all the Leos, the important ones, sure. Right? It goes Lionel Messi, Leo Komarov, right?
I can't think of any others.
Leonardo DiCaprio, screw that bum.
He doesn't count in my book.
No, it goes Lionel Messi, Leo Komarov. Those are the only two Leos that matter.
There you go. My last one is showing Barry Trotz some love. So he got put onto Team Canada's coaching staff for the Olympics. How do you feel about that? Him representing your team?
Unbelievable.
That staff right? is like just
assistant coach.
That staff is unbelievable, dude.
Yeah, it is every year. Every year. Gonna win a gold if we go, of course. It's gold or bust for Canada. It always is.
No, absolutely. But when you look at that staff and the potential roster, it should be very, very, very good.
Yeah, I wonder how many Islanders players make the Canadian roster and American roster, of course. I'm capped out at two. Barzal, Pelech are the only two I think makes the Canadian roster.
I don't know if Pelech does. I think Barzal definitely does. I think Pelech is a coin flip.
Yeah, I think that's just it. It's just the name recognition isn't there, which is stupid because he's elite and it's unquestionable. But, you know, they might bring someone like Doughty over him. You're going, come on. Guys. Yeah. Like, what the hell are we doing?
I was just going to say that. Unfortunately, that's going to play a role. He's not a big name in the NHL. He's just not. He's a great player, but they are going to hold that against him. And I could totally see them bringing, you know, a player like Doughty over instead. For the Americans, I would say Leon Nelson have to have a pretty good shot, right?
I would think so. They've got to have good years. Of course, all these guys have to have good years, but it doesn't seem like they're on the A squad, right? Like the automatic locks to make the list, which is fine. Like Norris Barzal, even you look at some Team Canada lists and they don't have him listed at all. They'd rather bring Yanni Gord instead of Matthew Barzal, which is weird.
Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I feel better about Lee and Nelson making the American team than I do Barzal, just because I think the Canadians have more talent to pick from.
Fair enough. Well, we're going to see if they go to the Olympics, that is. But I'm excited. Olympic hockey again, NHL hockey, that is. Can't wait.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. So that's going to do it, Mitch. We just got to do some plugs in here before we go. Wherever you are listening to this show, please make sure to subscribe, give her a rating and review. That really helps us out a lot. You can follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary NY. Mitch is TLO Mitch. Facebook is facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You can also visit the website, eyesonisles.com, for articles and all that kind of stuff, or download the fan-sided app and find us there. And last but not least, we got to talk about it, the Patreon. Ton of bonus content going on over there. For $5 a month, you get post-game podcasts after each and every game during the season. During the off-season, we break down various topics in depth. We also have a group chat on Discord. There is a mailbag show. What else am I missing, Mitch? There's a lot.
There's a lot going on, but those are the big ones right now. The Discord is always going off. We just added something to the Patreon channel today, and that was just we had in our mailbag last week. Someone asked us, and it was Zach Moore, say, one of the worst pads ever in the NHL. And one of the other patrons chimed in on something that we didn't bring up, and that was Trevor Kidd. His pads are horrendous.
I'm going to have to look those up.
I'm sorry, Trevor, if you're listening, but you had the worst pads in the league ever.
Okay, I'm going to have to go look that up after this. Now I'm curious.
It's absolutely disgusting. So head over to the Patreon, see everyone talk about like even one of the patrons says, "Damn you, I can't unsee this post." And that's me posting four different pictures of Trevor Kidd's pads. They are horrendous. So head over to the Patreon. That's patreon.com/eyesonisles. Subscribe today.
Oh, I just Googled it. What a mistake. Don't do it. It's a jump scare. Don't do it. That's going to do it for us on this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, I'm Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson. And we'll talk to you next time.